reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy and chapter 33, and we're commencing from verse 26 to the end of the chapter. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and you and shall see destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found. Liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And here we have in Deuteronomy in our reading, the blessings, or the end of the blessing given by Moses, the man of God, about God's chosen people. He's telling about their future, about what will happen to them, really before their entry into the land that God had given them, their land of promise. He was reminding them that they were a special people and there was none like unto them. And so are we, the children of the living God. And it is through all generations, and it never changes, that the Lord is with us, as we see. And it was here a prophetic word, in that Moses was speaking of a future that God's people would face. It was not only a prophetic word, but it was a word with promise. And as they face the future, it's a sure success is theirs. And that's the theme and the thought of what Moses is endeavouring to encourage God's people with, that you will have success. It is yours. For in verse 29, he reminds them again of their unique position amongst all the peoples of the world. He said, there is no one like unto you, saved by the Lord, separated by the Lord, redeemed by the Lord, brought into a special relationship with the Lord God. And I want to really take then verse 27 for our consideration with encouragement. And I want to bring the word encouragement through as I read this verse. And it reads like this: the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath of the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and shall say, destroy them. And the first thought then is this: the eternal God is with you. There is none greater than him, creator God of all things. He is everlasting. Who is like unto our God? No one is like unto him. And it's true in these uncertain times, like it was for God's people. What of the future? They had to face this. And we all do. We all have to look ahead to what's happening. And the future is unknown. It was unknown to them, and to a degree it's unknown to us, because we don't know what lies ahead. Yet one thing we know, it's known to God. And that is the important thing, that God has our life in control and he knows the beginning from the end. He directs the way that we will go while we are with him. And with this in mind then, I want to just look at a few verses from Matthew and chapter 6. And this is so important for us today, as we face uncertainty, especially in these times. It says this: Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or drink or wear? The everyday things in our life and experience. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows that we need them all, and He's there to supply them all as we trust in Him. Verse 34 then, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. It'll take care of itself. We don't need to worry unnecessarily when we trust God, because He's the God of today and tomorrow as He was yesterday. He never changes. That's why He's the everlasting God. And there He is with us at this time. But then you see it says this, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've got enough trouble as it is. We don't want to add trouble by worrying or by considering situations apart from God. God is there working for us, and that's important. The key to it then is verse 33. But seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, everything we need, will be added unto us. God will and does supply our every need while we trust and seek Him first. Put God first and the rest will take its place. And that's how we work. And then I want us again from verse 27 to consider this verse again. For He is our refuge. It says there, the eternal God is your refuge. He is our refuge. In other words, what that means is He is our habitation. Wherever we are, God is. Whatever we do or wherever or whatever situation, God is there. It means dwelling with us. God is with us no matter where we are or whatever we do. He is our surety. He is our strength. He is everything. And that's the word. God's sure presence with promise. There's always the promises that come through the presence of God. In this, wherever we are, whatever state we are in, whatever the future may hold, the eternal God is with us. Never a time, never a situation, never anything that God cannot handle when we trust Him. And then it goes on to say, underneath are the everlasting arms. I just want to think for a moment on the word underneath. Have we thought about what that means? We know that undergirding is that protection. If you fall underneath, there's something there to catch you as you're secure, you're safe. That's primarily the thought. And of course, when I was thinking of this, that underneath, there's that well-known and often used illustration which I'd like to give, and it's this. And why does the eagle shake the nest? Why does the eagle shake its nest? Well, it does this because it knows, well, the fledged chick, it's ready. It doesn't know what the parent bird knows. The parent bird has brought it up, nurtured it, fed it, kept it. It's ready to leave. It's on the point, but it hasn't yet left. So the parent bird knows it has to leave to find its own way and make its own way. And this is the same with God in our experience. If we think about it, He knows what lies ahead. And He's there to help. And you see, what happens is, it hasn't as yet tested its wings. It's got the capacity. The parent knows it has the ability, but it's got to try it. It's got to let go for itself. And sometimes that's what we've got to do. But always remember, the parent underneath not that it might be needed, because with the wings the eagle could well soar where it's meant to be, but underneath the parent keeps its eye on its fledgling. It'll not fall, it'll not fail, even if the parent bird goes underneath it to help it, it'll not fail. And that's the illustration really of our God. He is there, he's there for us all of the time. Then remember, first, with God, and I want us to think about this and take hold of this, with our God, there's never a fall too far. There's never a fear that faith in him cannot remove. Let's remember that. Faith in God, trust in God's word, in our known experience of the providence of God, the protection and care of God, we continue to keep this in mind. And yet we never minimize, nor should we, uncertainty, even fear, because it's really prevalent in the pandemic at the minute and other situations. But this highlights it, because lots of people are full of fear of what the future holds. And you know, we all to a degree have a sense of fear. It's part of the human makeup. There's none of us prone there to not to fear, but faith in God and trust in God supersedes this. It deals a death blow. Faith will deal a death blow to fear every time while we trust in God. So with this in mind, as we continue, remember, our God is our refuge, for he is with us. Verse 27 also holds another sure promise, because it goes on to add this: he, the God, will thrust out the enemy. The word thrust is a fierce word. It's an aggressive word. It's a sure word that whatever it is, nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. He is in overall control of everything. Yes, we have enemies. We have the greatest enemy of all. There's always those who are trying to undermine or cause difficulty in the situations. Sadly, in this pandemic, sadly, but it's a trait in human nature through sin. People are trying to capitalize on other people's misfortune. You see, and this is it, there are relevant fears that we have to face, and things that are actualities which we cannot dismiss. But what we were remembering is this, that we trust in God and he will give us the victory. Now, may I give a personal illustration, if you link in underneath, which is that sure word, are the everlasting arms. And by example, by illustration, when we were growing up at home, my brothers and I would often be out near the countryside. It was a matter of 2 minutes and we were in, and there was a railway bridge, actually had a line over the top and a line underneath. And the middle brother was always adventurous, foolhardy, and was always the one that would do things. And he decided he would climb up the side and climb along the bridge, which he did in the middle of the bridge. And of course, he got stuck. He couldn't go back. He couldn't go on. And he was stuck hanging onto the bridge. And I'm standing underneath. And I'm saying to him, look, drop and I'll catch you. Just let go, I'm here and I'll catch you. But no, he's crying, get me dad. No, get me dad. So the youngest brother ran off and brought me dad. It was no distance really from where we lived. And when me dad came, he held his arms out and me brother just dropped straight into his arms and he held him. And of course, you see, why? He could trust his dad. He couldn't trust me, and rightly so, because I might have dropped them, you know, but he knew his dad wouldn't drop, because it was his dad. And that's the same with our God. There's absolute surety in God. We may fail, we will fail. God never fails. Let's remember that. And then the everlasting arms. The absolute, unchangeable assurance of the eternal presence and protection and care of God. Never changes. Always the same. Always there. Always ministering to our every need. The promise through his word and experience of all who believe and receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. John 3 in verse 16, well loved, well read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, continuous life. In other words, eternal life, not only forever, and that's what it means, life with God, continuous, but a joy, an inner joy, and more so an inner peace. And that's what we really need, the peace of God at this time when everyone fears. The peace of God, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, I give you my peace. The world cannot give peace, but he does, and he said he would. And also life without sorrow. Yes, we have sorrow. Yes, we know pain. Yes, we're not immune to everything that anyone else is. But this also is futuristic. For everlasting, if we look at Revelation, is the future. There will be no more tears. There is no more crying there. Because God is there and we are with him. Now, this is a guarantee of our future. But before we can have that guarantee, we have to be sure that it can be ours. It is your salvation to make sure that we know the Lord Jesus Christ in these times, that he'll take us through and carry us through all of these things. And may I conclude and close with a prayerful benediction from 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16 to 17, which reads like this. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace, unmerited favour, comfort and encourage your hearts. Amen.